So I'll stop there, but I'm happy to answer any questions or pull up any of the documents for you.
Thank you very much, Colleen. And thank you for this report. I was able to review it with the statutes that were highlighted. Have some questions, but would first ask if there are questions from committee members for Colleen regarding this memo and what she's found in other states. Chris Parr.
Colleen, a question I had is, how many states did you find had a waiver provision like Maine has, and that was just amended from to waive the first hour, and then now it's 2 hours of fees that can be charged, at least for staff time. How many did you find like that?
I didn't find any that were sort of specific to how Maine does it, is sort of the 2 free hours, and then additional, you know, an hourly rate after that, particularly related to the search fees. There are some states that that had mandatory waiver provisions that required a certain amount of the fee up to a cap to be waived if someone demonstrated that they were either indigent or the request was in the public interest. So if you look on the chart, the two that come to mind, I think Hawaii was a state that does it through their regulatory process as opposed to in statute. And their rules require that agencies must waive the first $60 of fees when someone makes a request that is in the public interest. And then I think there was one other state particular to that that had, Michigan, I think, had a waiver of the first $20 of each request when an individual demonstrates that they're indigent. And then there was another state that comes to mind, I can't think of the specific state, but provided discretion similar to Maine, like absolute discretion that the agency may waive a fee if they determine that it's in the public interest, but they capped the fee waiver amount at $500 in that situation. So I think, we've talked about this before when we talked about raising the fee, the $25 fee. I think if you look at other state statutes in terms of the fees that they charge or the amounts that they have in statute, they really range, you know, have a range. But when you settled on the $25, you kind of did take a look at what other states were doing, and the $25 limit that we have in statute now was in line with states that had a specific amount in the statute related to search and retrieval of records.
That's it. An additional question? Thank you. Go ahead, Chris.
Thanks. I guess my follow-up question, I noticed the statutes were fascinating to look at what other states are doing for a number of reasons, including this. But what stood out to me, and I guess I want to make sure I'm clear on this, is that it became sort of the onus was on the requester to say why this was in the public interest. And that sort of fascinated me. Did I notice correctly, I guess, is what I'm asking?
Yeah, I think there are a number of examples from the statutes that particularly have the mandatory waiver where the person making the request would be required to provide a statement or a demonstration that they either qualified for a waiver based on indigency or a waiver based on being in the public interest. And then, you know, if you look at the statutes too, while there are a lot of similarities and consistency, I think they use the phrase in the public interest, and some statutes go further and describe what being in the public interest would mean. It's similar to how Maine, the concept is similar, but the language is really kind of all over the place in terms of how states describe it. But I think, you know, and Ms. Kelty can maybe talk a little bit more about it, but I think some states that have the mandatory provisions have tried by requiring the statement or describing it, sort of develop standards, you know, objective or some type of standard that can be pointed to for someone to qualify for a waiver, particularly when it is, there is no longer any discretion that's provided. And then you can also talk further, and I think when you talked about it in 2019, some of this was discussed about whether there needed to be more in the statute in terms of describing the conditions that somebody might meet in order for a fee request, records request, a fee to be waived.
Thank you. Are there additional questions from committee members? And I'm going to look around the horseshoe first, and then I'll go to those participating remotely. Seeing none, I will turn to committee members who are participating remotely. If you have any questions regarding the memo and the information just shared by Colleen, if you could please raise your hand and I will recognize you. And I am not seeing any hands up. I do have at least one question, Colleen. Even in some of the states that you call mandatory, like Connecticut, they seem to provide a great deal of discretion to the agency with language that's very similar to ours. And it says the agency, one of the reasons it would be without a charge is if the agency determines the disclosure benefits, that disclosure benefits the general welfare. That to me is really not mandatory, because they can always say it doesn't. And I'm curious as to do we have any idea how that plays out in the real world?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Peggy and I were talking about it. It's almost like under Maine's current structure, there's double discretion. You know, you may waive the fee, and then if you determine, you know, that someone qualifies, and there's discretion in how you determine whether someone would qualify. Mm-hmm. And then in the mandatory states, it will say you shall waive the fee, but there's still some discretion in determining whether or not you meet the standards in the statute. And that's sort of like, you know, in a way, like one element of discretion. And then in our statute, there's sort of two pieces of discretion. So I think you're right. I think it's hard to say. It may play out very similarly to how it might play out here, because it does leave the discretion, appears to leave the discretion in a lot of circumstances, even in the mandatory fee waiver states, to the agency or the official or the records custodian making that determination. So I think, again, that goes back to, can you develop some sort of standards that need to be applied that could be put into the statute beyond what is, you know, what a lot of states use now currently, which is in the public interest or indigency, and then some states describe what being in the public interest means more fully.
And thank you. And two follow-ups. One, is there an appeal process in these states? What happens if somebody is unhappy with the determination of the agency regarding their decision to waive fees?
Yeah, I think states are, I didn't look specifically at that, but I expect that, or I would anticipate that it was, you know, their process might be similar to what happens in Maine in terms of, you know, having some ultimate authority to challenge, but it would be sort of trying to work out those disputes. Perhaps, you know, some states have an ombudsman like we have in Maine, or, you know, and there'd be some way for them to get some assistance short of having to, you know, go to court and make an official or more formal appeal.
And my last question, at least for now, is agencies that are subject to freedom of access laws can be the big state, but they can also be local municipalities, some of which are very small, not terribly well funded. Are there distinctions in, I'm not, at least from what you've shown, there doesn't seem to be a distinction drawn between what entity is the request has been filed with. Is that
not generally accurate? I mean, generally, when you look at FOA and you look at these types of provisions in other states, they generally describe it as, you know, a records custodian or a public agency or official. And I think that term is usually broadly defined, so it includes both at the state and the local level. Some states had some specific requirements related to the type of record that may not necessarily lend itself to a municipality. I think New Jersey was one that would waive the fee for someone who was a victim of a crime and was requesting those records from the state in that situation. So there are some circumstances, perhaps, but I think generally when we looked at the state laws on this, when I looked at them related to fee waivers, most describe it more generally, and I would interpret that term to apply at both the local and the state level.
Thank you. Yep. And seeing no other questions from committee, there is a question, Linda.
Sorry, I apologize for not asking earlier, but I was curious about New Jersey, and maybe this is a question for Brenda as to whether it ever comes before her, and if anybody has insight as to why New Jersey is the only one that brings the victims' rights up for records.
Thank you. Other questions from committee members? And I'm looking at those participating remotely and in person, and I'm not seeing any. So with that, again, thank you, Colleen, and I would like to invite Brenda Kelty.